Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the program here tonight. And we're going to start our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody here this evening. And again, we just pray that we'd be able to point people to Christ that are searching, encourage you believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. Welcome to the program this evening. We're glad to have you with us tonight, and we do hope that we'll be a blessing in some fashion. You can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And our YouTube channel, when we can get things working, we share our YouTube feed to the Facebook page as well. And I'm actually in the process of trying to get it to do that right now. It's just going slow. I started about, I think, 10 till 2. That's a really long time, wasn't it? 10 till 11 trying to do it. And it's just now coming up. So if you're trying to catch us online there, be patient. Hopefully it'll be there in a few minutes. But as I said, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more about us. Just go online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find out about our church there and connect our Facebook page, connect our YouTube page through that. You can always go to YouTube and just search for Live with Pastor Al. But at any rate, I do hope that you'll give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, as I said, that toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have the telephone lines open now, I believe, and so we can get calls in now. We didn't have them open there a few minutes ago, but they're open now, and so we'd love to hear from you tonight. And, well, a lot of things going on in the world today. Certainly pray for the people affected by the terror attack at Pensacola Naval Air Station there, Pensacola, Florida, over the weekend, or this past yesterday in that time frame. And they've now shown that that indeed was a terror attack. And I believe we've got our YouTube running, so hopefully we'll find out what that looks like. Hopefully, it doesn't look like the camera's running for some reason. Don't really know why, so you may just get an audio there if you go there. Yeah, we started the camera, and for whatever reason, it chooses not to do this. You know, there's always something with this. I think one of these days I'm going to probably give up on trying to have these video broadcasts, because once we get them running, something happens. And don't know what's going on, but hopefully you can hear the audio on there, and that'll come through. And I had put up a thing to show a picture that it's the broadcast, but I don't think it's doing that either. Anyway, see, if we were a big organization here with lots of money and people that could handle all this, I wouldn't have to do this as I'm going on air trying to talk to people. And did have somebody in the studio who was able to check and make sure at least whether or not it's running. So anyway, Friday I couldn't get it to run at all. So pray for us on that. We're really trying to do this because we do have people who like to watch our YouTube broadcasts, but unfortunately, if they don't work and they decide to work at one point, and then as soon as we go on air, they decide not to work, not much we can do about it. So I apologize for that. But at any rate, want to again mention some things that are happening in the news. I need to get on to some other things here before we get to our callers here tonight. As soon as I get back, flip back over here to where I need to be, which I'm not finding. I'm having all kinds of computer problems here tonight. ever have one of those nights? I started out actually early. I was probably about 5 minutes early starting to set up my computer for the program tonight, and everything went like it was traveling through molasses. And now really don't know what's happening with my broadcast here this evening. So we'll figure it out here eventually, I guess, I hope. I might have just found something, so bear with me here. We're going to try and cancel something out and see if that happens. But we've got a couple of callers calling in right now, and we've got two people called in about the same time, and I believe Tracy called in first. Hello? We'll go with Tracy here first. I'm sorry?
Oh, it's Terry.
Oh, it says Tracy on the board. Oh, okay. Well, Terry, you got renamed Tracy there. I hope this doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry there, Terry.
I don't take any offense.
But you had beat out, I think, by about 10 seconds or something, according to the board. I was looking. I just went and looked at the times to see who had called in when I was getting started here, and I had Tracy on the board. So, but Terry, welcome to the program tonight. How are you doing?
Good, and I was kind of waiting for a little bit because I didn't want to call in right away and be first, but that's okay. I can, you know, for a change, I just wanted somebody else to be ahead of me. But anyway, that's okay. I've been studying the Book of Joshua.
Uh-huh.
And, man, there's a lot of good stuff in this, in Joshua.
Yeah, and you know, Joshua starts out with some interesting things dealing with the transition, of course, between Moses to Joshua as the next leader and as they enter into the Promised Land. And, you know, when you think about it and you think about what they endured, because Moses had led them, you know, in the wilderness for 40 years. And, you know, he was a really an imposing figure. And Joshua, of course, had been there with him during that 40-year time period. But to make the transition from somebody like Moses to Joshua, you can imagine Joshua's feelings and thoughts, you know, after God took Moses. And then the idea that he now was going to be responsible for these people and responsible for them as they entered into the Promised Land. And it had to be some trepidation, but when you look at Joshua, remember it talks a lot about how, I think he's the one that's got the phrase in there at some point saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so, you know, Joshua is a tremendous figure, but he kind of falls in the shadow of Moses.
Yeah, Moses was actually a mediator between God and man at that time.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if it's running or my Ustream is running or not, or YouTube's running or not. Was that a yes?
Yeah. I'm just saying I know to check.
Oh, okay. Somebody was checking for me. I was not catching their signals to know what they were saying. So I think we got that. Due to technical difficulties beyond our... No. But getting back to Joshua there. I'm sorry, a little bit distracted there. I think we're working, got camera working, got sound working. All right, I think we got something sort of by hook or by crook is working. And and the reverse background, it's a reverse background. Okay, we had for a while where the background wasn't reversed, and now that's gone. Back to the reverse background. All right. Sorry about that, Terry.
It's okay.
So we were talking about Joshua there.
I was saying one thing about Moses was a mediator, actually a mediator between God and man, too.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua was more of a, a lieutenant, you could say.
Right.
Yeah, and one thing that came across that I wanted to bring up is that there's a lot of stuff in here, but Joshua 20, verse 6,
All right, let me get turned over there. Joshua chapter 20. And let's see, you said verse 6?
Yes.
All right, there we go. Joshua chapter 20, verse number 6, where it says, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation of judgment."
Yep.
All right.
"The death of the high priest, and then in those days, then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." So this was a city of refuge that he had to go to, right?
Right.
He'd either go there or die.
Yeah, because we had set up these cities in land that they were going to set up as a city of refuge, and if somebody had accidentally killed somebody, they could go to the city of refuge and be safe there, not to have to worry that what they called the avenger of the blood, it says in verse 5, "And if the avenger of blood pursue after him," when they're in this city, the avenger of blood, that's usually a close relative who could avenge the death of that person that died, and they would go there and be safe in that city until an investigation could be made. And they can stay in that city until the death of the high priest, and then at that time they could return back, and they would be safe.
Right. The one thing that came to me is the high priest is Jesus.
Right.
Now, and the high priest died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could enter into the, per se, promised land.
Well, and think of it this way, Terry. According to the Bible in Genesis chapter 9, I believe it is where capital punishment, the execution of a killer, is mandated, and that far predates the law. It predates Moses. It predates Abraham. It was given right after Noah, along with his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, got off from the ark and their wives. And this has been carried through all the Old Testament, even carried through all the way through into the New Testament. And the idea that if somebody kills somebody, that their life would be forfeit. And so when we think about it, that murder then became a death punishable or a sin punishable by death. So you brought up an excellent point about Jesus being our high priest, because think about this. When we commit a sin, the wages of sin is death. But if we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, He is our high priest, and we're in that city of refuge, so to speak. And we're safe until the death of as long as the high priest lives, we're safe in that city. We don't have to leave the city. And guess what? Jesus is never going to die, is He?
That's right. And the reason, one reason why I brought this up is because, so why would anybody say that, you know, you can lose your salvation? One reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, would that not be another gospel, preaching another gospel?
Well, yeah, and to be fair, there's a lot of people who really don't come to that conclusion until after they get saved. You know, I've told a story at our church, and I possibly have told it on the radio before, that I talked with a guy many years ago. This gentleman had gone to a church where they believed that you could, you know, lose your salvation. And I'll confuse that guy with another individual. This is a guy when I was in the Air Force, and we had conversations about it. He went to a church where he believed that you could lose your salvation. That's what they were taught. Now, I personally believe the individual was saved, because we had conversations about the Bible and about the gospel and things like that. But he just thought that you could lose your salvation. So I would always ask him, well, how many sins do you have to commit in order to lose your salvation? And he never could give me a sufficient number. He just said, well, you do enough of them, and then all of a sudden, boom, you reach a tipping point, and that's it. You know, essentially.
Well, my question is, where's the hope?
Yeah. Because you don't know. It takes away the hope of your salvation. And the other thing that takes away is the idea that if you commit even one sin, the wages of sin, not the wages of sins plural, the wages of sin is death. Any one sin would condemn you to hell. If you committed one sin, you would lose your salvation. So you would be losing your salvation constantly. And you know, they use that passage in Hebrews chapter 6 to try and prove it, but the passage is talking about people who are unsaved, who come under conviction, and they reject the gospel message. Well, it's impossible for somebody to get saved if they reject the gospel message. It's not talking about people who got saved and lost their salvation. And even if it did, a lot of times they don't like to admit it. If it did, it would mean that it's impossible for them to ever get saved again. And yet you hear people who believe that you can lose your salvation frequently say, oh, yeah, I remember one time I lost my salvation, and then I got saved again. I always wonder, too, did they get baptized again?
Yeah, I had one guy tell me that, you can lose the Holy Spirit if you continue in sin. Oh, what an awful thing to say.
Well, yeah, continue to sin. Well, at what point? You never know, do you? You just don't know what point. You know, Ephesians.
I got something here I could share, I'd like to share with you.
Yeah.
Even the guilt of consciousness, the guilt of nature, the guilt of the spirit, and the iniquity is removed as though it ever never was. That's one thing that Jesus did.
Amen to that. And that's.
He took away that guilt.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that, again, I had just thought of a couple of verses here. The guilt is taken away, and you now have, according to Romans chapter 3, Christ, you know, God's righteousness is placed on you. When God sees you, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees his righteousness. And we receive the Holy Spirit of God, which the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, it says you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And in chapter 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And so we're sealed, you know, by the Spirit under the day of redemption. In fact, let me go back to Ephesians 1, because this is the one that I initially was looking for. Let me read this, verse 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, meaning Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, which means until the day that Jesus calls us up to be with him in heaven. That's the redemption of his purchased possession. We're his purchased possession. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of God, sealed until that day that we're caught up to be with him. The earnest of our inheritance. You know, he's the earnest it's like the down payment. We receive the Holy Spirit of God. He seals us until the day of redemption. And so he's not going to let go of us. We've got his seal on us.
Yeah, and without that, we have absolutely no hope.
Right.
No refuge.
Exactly. Without
no place to hide.
Yeah, without that seal, it doesn't matter. You know, we have no hope, we have no assurance, none of that.
Yeah, we would be continually going after the Avenger.
Yeah.
The Avenger would
continue. Or the Avenger be, continually after us.
Right.
Because we'd be continually guilty. But, I mean, you know, the blood of Christ, the Bible says, cleanses from all sin. And as a consequence, we know that we're saved. We know that we've been given eternal life, and that's why I often refer to John chapter 10. Let me turn back there. I believe it is John chapter 10. Going the wrong way here. I got to learn to count again, right? In John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking, and he says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And it's like I tell people, either you have eternal security, or Jesus lied three times at least in that statement, possibly four.
That's right.
Because he said he gave us eternal life. since God is outside of time and he sees all of time at the same time, he experiences all of time, he knows all of time, he knows the future, he knows what's going to happen. And if we got saved today and he knew that in a year you were going to lose your salvation, then your salvation wasn't, you didn't receive eternal life, you merely received the potential of eternal life. But he told us definitely he gave us eternal life, right? John 3:16, everlasting life. Same thing.
You know, that's one thing that God always wanted to give, even the Israelites, you know. I think it's called Yeshua. Mm-hmm. See, that's Jesus. But God, that's what he wanted to give the Israelites, the promised land.
Yeah, and their possession.
He had it all prepared for them.
You know, they lost the blessing, but they never lost God. God never abandoned them. They still belong to him. And the Bible says in Romans 11 that there's coming a day in the future when the nation is going to embrace Christ as their Savior. Zechariah chapter 12, I think it is, or maybe it's 13, I think it's chapter 12, talks about when the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation during the Battle of Armageddon, they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they mourn because they realize this is the Messiah that they had rejected, and had they only embraced him as the Messiah, they never would have had to have gone through this tribulation. And so, of course, they'll mourn.
And the promised land is still there for them.
Yeah, it's still theirs. God still has it for them. And so that reflects what he told us as Christians, eternal life, never perish, which, you know, look in the Greek. People like to go to the Greek. You look in the Greek, never perish means never perish. It's real simple. And if you could lose your salvation, you'd perish. And so Jesus would be a liar there.
There's one thing, you know, about, you know, talking about the land of Israel, you know, the UN says that, you know, that part of that land belongs to the Palestinians.
Yeah, and of course...
The Lord is not too impressed with that.
Yeah, and we know it was in the second century that Rome, I think it was about 135 AD, Rome renamed the land Syria-Palestinia, and Palestinia was a Romanized version of Philistia, meaning the Philistines. They named it after the ancient enemies of the Jewish people, the Philistines. The Philistines had ceased to exist as a people. The Philistines are not related to the Arabs at all, or I should say the Arabs are not related to the Philistines or the Palestinians. Even the King James Bible uses the word Palestinia and Palestine in it, referring to the Philistines and Philistia. And the Philistines were the true Palestinians, and they were a Hamitic people descended from Noah's son Ham. The Jews and the Arabs are a Semitic people descended from Noah's son Shem. So they're not even from the same line. And the name Palestinia was applied to it by the Romans, like I said, about 135 A.D., and it stuck to where everybody, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Zoroastrian, atheist, Buddhist, whatever, that lived in the land, they were all called Palestinians because they lived in Palestine, just like you live in Canada. You're a Canadian. I live in the United States of America. I'm an American. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're from, where your ancestry's from, what your ethnic background is, you're a Canadian. I'm an American. They were Palestinians, regardless of their ancestry. And it wasn't until after the Six-Day War in 1967, I believe it was, that the name Palestine or Palestinian was actually co-opted by the Muslim residents of the land. And not all of them were even Arabs. Some of them were Egyptians, that would be Arab, but some of them were Turks, some of them were from as far away as Armenia and Bosnia and places like that. And they co-opted the term Palestine to try and say that the Jews had no legitimacy in the land, whereas the Jerusalem Post was called the Palestinian Post, and it was published by Jews who called themselves Palestinians prior to the formation of the Jewish state in 1948. So,
The West Bank also belonged to Israel too.
Yes, and thankfully, President Trump recently recognized it through the State Department with Secretary of State Pompeo, and I believe God's blessing him for it. And, you know, God said in the New Testament or the Old Testament repeatedly, God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And he is blessing them. And certainly the West Bank, that was part of the original state of Israel until it was taken from them in war by Jordan, which that land itself was taken from the Jewish people to set up an Arab state in order to quell violence by the Arabs in the land when the Jewish homeland was being set up following World War I. And so the Jews merely took back the West Bank from Jordan and restored it to the state of Israel. And it's also the land, the home of Bethlehem, where Christmas time's coming up, celebrating the birth of Christ. It occurred in the West Bank. And people try to say, oh, there's no connection to the Jews in the West Bank. No, I'm sorry. This is biblical lands given to Israel, to the descendants of Israel.
Jordan so. Comes against Israel, comes against God.
Yeah.
The infamous Golden Heights that Israel mm-hmm. had from Syria in the Six-Day War.
Yeah, and again, a very important location, and it was a part of the Jewish land that was given to them and by God. And it's also important in a strategic sense. So we need to pray for the peace of Israel. God says that they'll prosper that pray for the peace of Israel. Hey, I hear the music, Terry. We're coming up on the break. I looked at the screen, almost said Tracy again. But thanks for the call there, Terry. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got another caller holding. If you'll wait, we'll pick you up after the break. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be here until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here. Love to hear from you tonight. And again, just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from there to our YouTube broadcast. You can link from there to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and that also has a link for our page as well. And I'm you know, this is live radio. I'm just enjoying the show behind the screen there. Derek in there, I'm not sure what he's doing, but I just looked up to see. This has been one of those nights, folks. It's just computer problems at the start, and I think I need a screen here. I think I need a curtain. I'm sorry. It's just one of those nights. Live radio. There's a show in there. And I'm sure there's some explanation. Oh, well. What was I talking about here? Our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, and facebook.com/livewithpastoral. I think I get you some of the information there. Also wanted to remind you, brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. I invite you to visit us there. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program tonight. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the streets from the Garfield Heights High School. And that is, you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you've never been there before and you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Getting back to our program here, we got a couple callers waiting for us patiently. Nancy's been waiting patiently since the beginning of the program. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And yes, I had technical difficulties too. I tried for about 8 minutes to get somebody to answer, and then finally somebody answered. So there's something, I don't know if it was my phone or your phone, but
sunspots or something, or maybe, is it a full moon out there tonight? I don't know. It just been so much cloud, you can't tell whether the moon's up or not.
Yeah,
you know, they have the term, the term lunacy or lunatic is based on luna or lunar for the moon, because they mm-hmm. believe that exposure to the moon too much would make you go crazy.
Oh,
so that's where the term lunatic came from, mm-hmm. and lunacy.
Well,
maybe that's what's going on tonight.
You know, because I was in nursing for 27 years, and I remember when I used to work evening shift, some of the residents really would act up more than they would normally.
Oh, yeah.
When it was a full moon. And I mean, people think that's you know, just a myth, but I mean, I witnessed it firsthand. But mm-hmm. to get to my question,
yes.
My question was spurred on by listening to a very popular, I'm not going to mention his name, pastor on this station, just recently said, you'll notice that there's no demonic activity in the Old Testament. This did not start until Jesus became a human.
He said,
so my question is,
let me interrupt here a second.
When did Lucifer become Satan, and then, you know, one third of the angels left with him, and they became the demons? I couldn't find anything in the Bible as to, like, what year. Like, was this 3000 BC or what?
Yeah,
about that, I'd be very interested.
Yeah, you said that he said there was no mention of demonic activity in the Old Testament.
Yeah, in the Old Testament. But
okay.
Jesus always existed.
Yeah, the very first.
That just seems sort of far fetched to me.
So yeah, no, the very first mention of demonic activity in the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 3, where Lucifer appears in the serpent and tempts Eve.
Oh, exactly.
And it's right there. I mean, this is the very first appearance of Lucifer in the Bible. There are other mentionings. The next one that comes to my mind immediately is, let me turn over here to Job. We certainly have him there in Genesis 3. In Job, as soon as I can get over there without going past it, Job chapter 1. It says right here in Job chapter 1, verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." And so the devil and the Lord have a conversation here in chapter 1 regarding Job. And then again, you see that in Job chapter 2, the devil again comes before the Lord. And then as you go a little bit further into Job chapter 4, we have an evil spirit, which would be a demonic activity, coming and visiting Eliphaz the Temanite in his sleep. He says in Job 4 in verse verse 13 verse 13, where he says, "In the thoughts and the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. And then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying," and then this spirit begins to speak to him, and it's clear that this is a false spirit, an unclean spirit. There's another spot that talks about, you know, the devil, or at least a devil, a fallen angel, an unclean spirit, going up against the high priest of Israel. There's in the book of Daniel where he talks to the angel that says he was delayed for 3 weeks because he was doing battle with an unclean spirit, the prince, which was a demon or a fallen angel, you know, there. And so, you know, you see all these demonic activity and mentions of unclean spirits and warnings about people who deal with unclean spirits in the Old Testament. But you were talking about when the devil himself fell, right?
When did Lucifer become Satan, and these one third of the angels, they became demons? Do you have any idea, like, was this, you know, 3000 BC or?
Yeah, I think it happened somewhere between the first day of creation let me rephrase that. I think it happened sometime probably after the creation week. Because I forget the passage right now that talks about the sons of the morning singing as they watch the creation of the world and the universe. And I think that's the angels watching that. I believe the angels were created on day one. Then sometime after the creation week, and in not too much time would have went by, because remember, God gave the command to Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Well, Eve has not had any children. There's no indication that she's become pregnant. So this would suggest that this was fairly shortly after the creation week is when the devil rebelled against God. And we can see that in Isaiah chapter 14. You know, it's kind of interesting that this person was saying there's no record of any kind of unclean spirit or demonic activity in the Old Testament, because it's all through it.
Maybe I didn't hear him correctly. It just sounded really clear to me, and this is a very popular
Yeah.
It's 12:20. I don't know how to get
me. Yeah. Let me give you this passage in Isaiah 14 here. This gives us a little bit of a clue. He says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Now, if somebody's reading a Bible that doesn't have Lucifer in there, and you're reading a Bible that's been corrupted to take out the name of the devil, and there's other problems with it too. Some of them actually falsely imply this is talking about Jesus Christ, but it's not. We're talking about Lucifer, Satan, the devil.
Yeah.
And it says, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake nations, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" So this shows us that Lucifer had a position, but he desired to exalt himself beyond that position. He desired to lift himself up. He said that he was going to ascend into heaven, that he was going to exalt his throne above the stars of God, and then it says that he was going to sit upon the mount of the congregation and then in the sides of the north. Then he says he's going to ascend above the heights of the clouds. Then he says, I'll be like the Most High. So,
yeah.
You know, this, along with Ezekiel chapter 28, indicates that somewhere after the creation week, the devil fell and was cast down in this respect, because Ezekiel chapter 28 says, in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus." And now the king of Tyrus here is different from the prince of Tyrus, who is a human being. This person is clearly not a human being, as we read the context. This is the power behind the prince of Tyrus. Now, this is the devil here. "And saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." So the devil had access to the earth, to the garden of God. He saw it. And at the time, he said, "Every precious stone was thy covering," and it lists a bunch of them and the beauty of the Lord. Just for time's sake, let me cut down to verse 14. He says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou hast was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And so this iniquity, which has to do with what we read in Isaiah chapter 14, occurred after the Garden of Eden was created. See how we're centering in on this?
Uh-huh.
But it happened before he tempted Eve. So I would say the devil's rebellion took place, and the Bible indicates elsewhere that probably about a third of the angels followed him in his rebellion against God. This rebellion apparently took place very shortly after the creation week. It would have been between Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. So this would have been very early on, probably during the first year of the world. So if you want to give a year, I would say it probably happened in the year 1.
Wow.
That would be my educated guess on that.
I feel like contacting this particular pastor and asking him to call you up, because I think you're more knowledgeable on this than he is.
Well, it's just going with the scripture. Just going with the scripture.
I know.
And,
not your opinion. You're going with the scripture. I was shocked. Well, maybe I misunderstood him, but it seems to me it was very, very clear.
Yeah.
He said, no. He said, you'll notice there isn't any demonic activity. You see this in the New Testament a lot, because it didn't happen until after Jesus became human. And I said, that sounds really strange. I said, I'm going to ask Pastor L about that. So thank you very much. You certainly dispelled that particular statement. It's just absolutely not true.
Yeah, well, I thank you for bringing that up, because it is an important statement, and it is something that needs to be you know, considered. And yeah, it's very important because the devil certainly is active in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do not recognize that, you know, we set ourselves up to be taken advantage of by him.
Now, he didn't say that the devil didn't appear.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if we don't understand the devil.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good application. Well, thank you very much. I think you said you had another caller. Thank you for answering my question.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and as you're closing out here, let me give you just one more passage here. Zechariah 3:1. This is one I was thinking of. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him.
Uh-huh.
That's another Old Testament activity, demonic activity example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that.
God bless.
Well, God bless. Thank you so much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we've got John calling in next. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I had a question about the epilogue of 1 John. 1 John 5, 13 through 16.
1 John chapter 5? Okay. Right. Let me get turned back there. All right, 1 John chapter 5.
Verse 13 through 16.
All right, verse 13 through 16. And I'll go ahead and read here real quick. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Verse 16, "If any man shall see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for him, or for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it."
Are there different degrees of sin?
Well, any sin, the least possible sin, is a breaking of God's law, and makes us guilty and makes us deserving of the wages of sin is death, not the wages of sins, the wages of sin. So any sin, if you think of sin being like a chain, and if anybody's ever worked with a chain, you don't have to break a number of links before the chain fails. You know, the old expression, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You only have to break one link and the chain fails. It's not like a cable where you have strands that can be broken before it finally fails. You just break one link. And if you think of God's law, any one link that you break, no matter how big it is or how small it is by our standards, is enough to cause the chain to fail. If we were suspended by a chain and that chain was made up of God's laws, it doesn't matter which one, however big or small you break, the effect is the same. We fall. Now, the effects of sin, many sins have greater effects than others. You know, when I was, I think I was probably about kindergarten, first grade, I remember going to Woolworths in the Pleasant Valley Shopping Center. This takes us back a ways. And they had a bin that had a bunch of M&Ms in it loose, and nobody was looking. And I reached in and I pulled one M&M out of that bin and I popped it in my mouth. And I instantly felt guilty. I thought somebody from the store was going to catch me and I was going to be, in trouble and all this. I've eaten a lot of M&Ms in my life, but I remember that M&M more than any M&M that I ate. Now, I stole an M&M. It didn't belong to me. I didn't pay for it, but I broke the law. I stole an M&M. But the consequences of me stealing that M&M, my parents never knew that I took it. Nobody else in the store ever knew that I took it. The only person that knew that I took it was me. So the consequences were pretty small. Now, if I had gone into the store and robbed the store of all their money, then the consequences of that would have been much greater because I would have affected more people. If I'd have gone into the store and killed the owner of the store, the manager of the store, trying to rob them, then the effects would be even greater. You see how that works?
Well, I'm wondering why the Holy Spirit would say that there's some sins that you can pray for and other sins that you cannot pray for.
No, well, I think you're misinterpreting that a little bit, because he's talking about a sin unto death, and not that we should pray for it. In other words, you see somebody who's doing something wrong, your first reaction shouldn't be, Lord, strike them dead. Lord, I pray you just strike them dead. Strike them down. Smite them to the ground. You know, kill them. You know, that's not what he's saying here. There is a sin unto death, but we don't necessarily need to pray for it. You know, we gotta have a little compassion. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the chastisement of a believer. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he says that the chastisement, the ultimate result of the chastisement, could be potentially a loss of life. Because he says in verse 9, furthermore, this is Hebrews 12, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, meaning we paid attention to them, we responded to the correction. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And this also ties in over in when Jesus was, or I'm sorry, Paul was giving instructions on the Lord's Supper back in 1 Corinthians, where he talked about observing a time of reflection and all of that, rather than eating and drinking damnation, meaning judgment to ourselves for eating and drinking when we're tolerating sin in our life. Because see, the Holy Spirit chastens us. God chastens us when we sin as a believer to get our attention. In fact, he says there in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So God does not chasten believers to punish us. He chastens believers to correct our bad behavior. And if we respond to the chastening, then we get our hearts right with God and we stop doing the bad behaviors. But if we don't respond to the chastening, it can reach the point where God may just shorten our life. And that's the sin unto death. And we don't need to pray, well, Lord, yeah, take their life, take their life. Yeah, they're doing horrible things, take their life. And we're talking about believers here.
I know the Catholics believe in venial and mortal sins.
Yeah, and that's not scriptural. That's something that they invented or got from a pagan religion, but that's not biblical.
So, in other words, there would be no distinction. They make a distinction between venial and mortal. So you make
like I said, that's not biblical. All sin is sin. All sin is a violation of God's law. Like I said, you break any sin, it's like breaking a link on the chain and you fall. Doesn't matter which one. Doesn't matter whether it's stealing an M&M that nobody knows about or killing somebody. Or that's breaking God's law.
That can take away your salvation?
Yeah. The sin of unbelief. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17.
So you can
You're condemned already because you've not believed. The sin of unbelief is the sin that takes away your salvation. Hey, I hear the music starting there, John, and we're going to have to wrap up right there. But yeah, absolutely right. There is a sin that keeps us from going to heaven. That's the sin of unbelief. In fact, I wanted to read it word for word. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. I'm sorry, verse 18, that's why I turned over here. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the sin that sends people to hell. And the rest of our sins can increase the degrees of punishment. Well, we're out of time, and we can trust Christ. Hope you have, and hope you do. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.
You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.